Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. Absolute honor and a joy that you have joined the Industrial Talk Podcast. And it is here that we celebrate the women and men of manufacturing, the women and men of industry, because they are bold, they are brave, they dare greatly. They innovate. Boy, do they innovate. They never stop innovating. That is so cool. And they're changing lives and they're changing the world each and every day. Why not celebrate them? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for what you do. All right, in the hot seat, the Industrial Talk hot seat today, we got a gentleman by the name of Clay Bush, President, Stratum Consulting Partners. And they're a partner with N4EAM, a heck of a system. Heck of an enterprise asset management system. We're going to be talking a little bit about how you look at those assets from a risk, ranking, criticality, and you name it. All right, let's go. Big time. He's a dude. He's great. And just right off the bat, it's a podcast. Don't get me wrong. Podcast. But Clay has a wonderful diagram of what we cover in this particular podcast. And it's, you know, step by step by step by step. And it's clear, concise. So, yeah, you're going to listen to the podcast. It's all good. Listen to this podcast. All fine and dandy. But I highly recommend that you also look at that video and of the interview because the diagram is really good. Now, saying to yourself, Scott, I can't watch. I can't watch that video. And I'll say, okay, no big deal. Just go out to industrialtalk.com. We're going to upload that particular document, and then you'll have it, and then you can refer to it. Excellent, excellent document. Now, one of the things about asset management and the system that we're talking about in N4EAM, absolutely powerful, powerful system, a lot of flexibility. Just capabilities galore, right? But what is really pretty cool about it is if you look at asset management from the perspective of a doctor, right? These practitioners, these asset management practitioners want to keep that asset healthy. And they're going to be running tests and they're going to look at data and they're going to continue to just constantly look at that information and to make sure that that asset is healthy. So if you look at it from that perspective, it's got tremendous value. And the people like Clay and others who are in this particular profession, I mean, they're doctors in asset management, and it's really pretty good. And this particular conversation, of course, just lays out step by step by step, and it makes complete sense. And you're just gonna enjoy this conversation. Clay is fantastic, and his team at Stratum Consulting Partners, one of the best at deploying the N4EAM platform. Now, one last comment before we get into that interview, right? I'm going to continue to challenge you because we need you as not just, you know, we need you as a company, we need you as a professional, we need you to be engaged. We need you to be at your best. And to do that, I'm once again going to challenge you to collaborate with people, not just internally, not drinking from the same well, but externally as well. To be able to, you know, challenge some of your thoughts. You got to collaborate and find answers that are once again, the second one is innovation. So collaboration for innovative solutions, not just technology, but also just people, right? And I'm constantly learning about how to work with people better. And one of the challenges I have, of course, is I'm very driven. And sometimes that's a challenge. So I've always got to work with it. And I've always got to be innovative. So collaborate, innovate, and educate. There's no reason. The speed at which this industry 4.0, IoT, IIoT, AI, and everything else in between is moving at a feverish pitch. And many who are in the industry, they publish out there, right? They've got information out there. You've got to stay current. You've got to stay current because it is changing fast. And it is something that is never, ever, ever, ever going to go away. So it's important that you educate. And it's important that you do it with a sense of speed and tenacity. You can't give up. You can't get lazy. You can't just sort of go, okay, well, whatever. I'm there. Because back to the doctor analogy, right? You're not going to go to a doctor if that doctor graduates from medical school and then just sort of stops learning, right? But we all know that the field of medicine, just like the field of manufacturing, the field of industry, the field of asset management and everything else, constantly changes. And it's because of people like Clay and others are innovative. That's what it's about. It is. So you're not going to go to a doctor that doesn't keep current and doesn't educate themselves. Educate yourself. All right. Clay Bush is in the hot seat. Go out to his stat card, and I want you to type in Clay Bush. And if there's multiple Clay Bushes, which there probably is, I want you to just sort of put a little comma in there. Type in Stratum. That's Stratum. And I guarantee you, you'll find him. Great picture out there. No doubt about it. And you'll be impressed with his stat card, his depth of skills, as not just with him, but Team Stratum. So enjoy. Remember, it's going to be probably the majority of it video. Got a diagram? Doesn't matter because you're all committed to education. That's why this is going to do well. So enjoy the conversation. All right, Clay, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast again. It's an absolute honor that you have joined and to share your absolute EAM wisdom with the listeners of the Industrial Talk Podcast. We're very happy that you're here. We are.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning to you.
Good to see you again. Yeah.
Good to be seen again. Absolutely. Especially in this, whatever this next normal is, new normal.
Exactly.
Whatever it is. But it is absolutely, you know what's fascinating, Clay, is the fact that we can be able to have this conversation using technology and still sort of, you know, add value, add content, add information for people who are listening and truly want to learn and grow and all that good stuff. All right. Let's level set real quick. Let's give us a little background on who Clay is, and then we're going to proceed forward from there. And we're going to talk a little bit about Infor Cloud Suite EAM products. So listeners, you're not going to want to miss this. And note to self, it's going to be a video. So we're going to look at a diagram. So you're just going to have to go out to industrialtalk.com, find the doggone video, and look at what Clay is talking about. There, Clay.
All right.
Give us a full one on who you are.
Sure. Broadcasting from Denver, Colorado today, and representing Stratum Consulting, so the company I founded back in 2003. So we are an Infor Alliance partner, and we implement the Infor EAM product line exclusively. So we're very narrowly focused and deeply skilled around that product line. So that's what we're here to talk to you about.
Yeah.
Infor EAM.
See, and I think, and as we I digress real quick, I think pandemic, pre-virus, I think we were just sort of a little lazy, a little distracted by maybe we were moving forward with business. That's all good. But now we're in this particular post, whatever it looks like, world we live in. And I think that to truly be a business of resilience, you're going to have to leverage technology. You're going to have to be innovative because you never know if this will ever happen again. And you don't want to be in a position where you were when you were pre. I think the conversations around technology and innovation are far more sharp and point to greater success. That's just me.
Couldn't agree more. The tools were there just in the nick of time for COVID to hit for us to manage all this stuff remotely. So
yeah, absolutely. All right. Listeners, we're going to start talking a little bit about EAM, Enterprise Asset Management. Infor is the company, EAM, and we're talking about a cloud suite. So the data, this particular platform, resides in the cloud. You don't see it, but it's up there, and it's powerful. It's nimble. It's flexible for whatever product or business that you are in. So let's start with that. We're gonna start shifting and sharing a diagram, and we're going to start talking a little bit about that. So if you are out there on video, we're going to go down this. Okay, we've got a concept map. Talk to us, Clay, about this particular map.
The reason I put this map together is to try to demonstrate, of course, not all of the features inside of EAM because they're voluminous and it would be a much larger diagram. But what's important to know about this diagram is that over the years, the platform has grown Of course, it's grown, but it's grown to the point where you can really manage the assets lifecycle completely front to back, from the time that you purchase it, even when you're planning to purchase it, all the way through to the point where you can estimate how long it's going to continue to live and plan for its replacement well in advance of the need to do so. So you've got a complete set of tools. And in the past, some of these tools were really point systems that were outside of EAM. But now the footprint of EAM has grown, so it's kind of subsumed a lot of those little point systems that used to be sold. And there's no longer a need for that. It's all in one platform.
And I like it because the conversations that I've been having with many within the industrial space, the manufacturing space, have been around how do we innovate? How do we leverage this digital journey? And what do we do? Because you can quickly get disconnected, but EAM and the platform and the flexibility of this particular platform lends itself well with all of the technology and all of these enablers that companies are looking for to succeed. And that's what makes, you're going to have to put it someplace. And that's why this particular platform is so powerful. So let's start a little bit about asset registry. And if you're not out there on video, we're talking left to right, asset registry, top, it's sort of a hierarchy. Asset registry, work management, long-term capital planning, and then sort of business analytics modeling and so on. That's at the top. So let's talk a little bit about asset registry, Clay.
Yeah, think of this as a timeline. And Scott, the asset registry has always been the foundation of EAM. That conceptually, that hasn't changed. What has changed is the richness of the asset registry, the functionality around asset data that can be put into EAM. Has really grown. So yes, you still have the basic equipment master, but now you have, for example, the ability to add, you know, virtually unlimited fields and content, rich media attachments, all of that stuff. You have, looking at the bottom, you have now the ability to spatially visualize your assets, whether that's in a 3D model like AutoCAD or BIM, or a 2D mapping model like GIS. Regardless of what your asset type is, the state of the art is you need to be able to visualize it on a drawing or on a map. It's not just text in a screen anymore.
Now, with that said, that's powerful stuff. Now, is that on a, can that be done, let's say my asset on a real-time basis, so I have a motor out there, I've got it in my asset registry, I have all of that capability to be able to look at that motor. Is there a way of being able to sort of spatially look at that asset and the health of that asset on a real-time basis?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Even like I said, even if it's a GIS map or if it's a 3D drawing, the principle is the same. You need to be able to visualize that asset, where it exists in the overall asset structure, and you need to be able to drill into it and find out its health, work order history, its criticality, you know, pop up the drawings, all of that stuff from within that visualization, right? Not clicking on a record on the screen.
Yeah, and that's foundational, Clay. I mean, you've got to really invest a lot of time, energy, and effort to be able to do that accurately and correctly and create those processes. Now, just like anything else within in a business, in a manufacturing or an industrial environment, I'm going to change that motor out. If I do this correctly, that switch out of motor is relatively easy, and then that same visual or spatial visualization would exist for that new piece of equipment, right?
Yeah. You get into topics like replacement in kind versus management of change, which also is handled by EAM, but the process itself is pretty simple to manage these days.
Yeah.
And then, you know, within that asset registry bucket, Scott, there's another one I've got listed there called equipment ranking, which is kind of deceivingly simple, but very, very important. And this feature has been in for a couple of versions now, but it's really grown to be very important. I mean, what you have the ability to do now is formally rank your equipment along several different key dimensions. You can rank your equipment by risk, you can rank your equipment by criticality, and you can rank your equipment by condition. And no matter which one you're approaching, you do it in a formalized way by establishing a survey with questions, answers, scores, weighted formulas. So it's a very, I keep using the word formalized, but it's a very rigorous way to establish your equipment and where it ranks versus the other equipment that you have out there so that you can focus your attention on the right things.
So, but why is that Why is that important outside of the realities that I can focus my attention? Is that really the driver behind creating this sort of equipment ranking?
The important thing about it is that it is formalized. It's in the database. Everyone knows the rules that you apply to get that ranking. In the past, before features like this existed, you had equipment criticality field and people would use it in a haphazard way. So if you sort your equipment by criticality, you know, it was maybe more of a matter of opinion rather than a formalized, rigorous assessment.
Yeah, and that would make that, hey, this is my favorite pump, be at the top of this particular criticality rating when it might not be the, and I would imagine that it would also drive my my purchase decisions as well. What do I need to have in inventory and vice versa? I don't have that. This is a critical based, it might be a small pump, but it runs, you know, half the environment, whatever it might be. And so I need to have that available.
Definitely.
Things like that.
This equipment ranking informs a lot of things downstream, which we'll talk about. So it's really a key foundational element. So get your equipment master set, you know, nomenclature, richness, completion of data, this is visualization and the ranking set up properly. You're going to be in a great position downstream to do all sorts of things.
And see, and when I look at this particular diagram, it makes sense that you're going to invest a lot of time in making sure that your equipment is properly identified, ranked. And then just by virtue of doing that work up front, as I go to my left side, when I start talking about work management, capital planning, it makes that effort a little bit more streamlined. Is that correct?
You got it. That's the way it goes.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about work management right now.
Yeah. So let's move on over. Of course, the heart of the EAM system for years has been work orders, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's the main cost collection vehicle and reliability data collection vehicle of EAM, right? And still the case today. But now you have expanded capabilities even in the work management realm, like what I've got depicted here, calculated work order priority. This is a way that EAM can assign a work order priority, and it's tied right back to that ranking.
Yeah.
You establish a condition ranking, and you put work orders in there. There's a background process that runs and continually updates the work order priority for you so that if you're a planner and you're assessing the backlog, you get a much better picture of the most important work orders in the backlog, not just the user assigned work order priority. This is a calculated priority that really takes into account not only the user's assigned priority, but how old the work order is and its ranking. So that's a great planner tool. It seems simple, but it's very powerful.
Yeah. And once again, as I look at this particular diagram, we've done our work up front. We've created our criticality of our risk of our equipment. And it just sort of naturally fits in with that work order prioritization and how that system looks at all of the dynamic pieces of information on that particular asset and be able to rank it. That's a powerful, powerful tool.
It's much better than just user assigned priority and date, which is traditionally how people have ranked the backlog.
I'm going to go replace this motor because it's in a nice section of the area. It's cooler over there.
And then you've got the next thing I've depicted in the diagram is nonconformities. And this one's reasonably new feature as well, but expanded in the last couple of versions. And this nonconformity is a intentionally general term. It means that you've noticed something about your equipment that needs to have continuous attention or attention downstream. You don't want to lose track of it. So in the past, people might have put a work request in to identify things like this, a crack, you know, a noise, something that's not critical at the moment, but you want to not lose sight of it because it may become important. So this whole nonconformity tracking takes out that piece and sets it in a module that's not a work order. It can become a work order later on, but it's an auto reminder system, a tickler system that says, hey, you noticed this issue on this piece of equipment, and based on the way you scored it, you need to look at it again in a month or 3 months or 6 months. But it's a way to, again, a regimented, rigorous way to keep track of potential defects and make sure you don't lose them. And at the right time, you flip it into a work order and take care of it, and then it zeroes it out.
Would I use this particular section of EAM or this particular module if I'm doing vibration analysis and I see some sort of trends that are taking place? Would I sort of say, hey, in this asset, we had this little squiggly line and so on and so forth? Would I do it there?
That might be a case to introduce a nonconformity. Mild vibration on a pump and a motor, sure. Okay. That would be, that'll tie also into the next topic, which is IoT. But you know, nonconformities, a lot of people think of those as originating in the transit industry, where you're examining bridges and structures and things like that. So you may notice a crack or some scoring or something like that. But yes, it's cosmetic at this moment, but it could, you know, how water eats away at structures and things like that. It could become critically important down the line if we don't keep track of this.
But bottom line, you need a place to put those. I observed this, and if you didn't have a place to put that observation is like, I have no place to put it. I don't know where to go.
Yeah, well, people used to cram it into the work order file.
Yeah, that's right.
The work orders and complicated the backlog.
Okay, listeners, that's a big topic, backlog, and working through that backlog. Continue.
Yeah. And then, of course, one of the biggest topics going on in asset management right now is IoT. Right? In the old days, we used to call these SCADA interfaces, right?
Yeah.
The principle is the same. You're going to get this telemetry data, which itself is an old school term, telemetry data, out of your SCADA system, your control systems, your devices in the field, and into EAM where you can act upon it, right? Two simple cases. One is you want to get equipment usage from these devices into EAM and let EAM generate your planned scheduled maintenance, preventive maintenance routines. Simple case, a lot of people doing that, been done for a long time. Beyond that, you want to have the potential to bring in alarms, other telemetry data, temperatures, pressures, things you want to put some boundaries around. And if they start trending outside those boundaries, then you're going to act on it. You're going to create a work order, a work request, or just a simple notification that says, hey, pump A is consuming more energy, trending upward, or the temperature.
Yes.
And those two different systems, like SCADA, let's just call it SCADA and EAM, were separate for so long, but now it's so easy to integrate them. That's, it's become the term IoT.
What you're saying is that this particular EAM platform is able to just get that data. Collect
right.
it. And it's somewhat agnostic to it. I don't care if it's a SCADA, DCS, whatever it might be, wherever that data resides, I'm able to sort of, through whatever interface, API. I can pull it in.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Now, these SCADA systems, these IoT systems, they collect so much data. I mean, it's like an ocean of data out there. EAM doesn't need that much, just a few sips every few hours or every hour to do its thing. So, having that easy integration gets the right data to the right place at the right time.
Yeah, I like that. All right, let's talk a little bit about capital planning and long-term.
All right, so moving on over, let's just, of course, assume that you've got your foundation of asset registry in place and your work management processes and procedures are in place and reasonably mature. Now you can start looking towards the future, if you will, getting that forward-looking view. It's not just a lagging indicator. We've got potential leading indicators that will inform us on how much longer these items are likely to last. So really what we're talking about is these three key things. One is facility condition assessments. And in the past, before some of these features were in EAM, we would conduct facility condition assessments by virtue of a work order with a checklist. On mobile, and it was a good process, very good process. There was nothing wrong with it. But essentially what you're doing is every year, 2-3 years, depending on the criticality of the equipment, you're going to go look at it and you're going to say, well, this is good, fair, poor. And presumably in your database, you know when you bought that thing, and we can put average estimated lives by classification on equipment. But then when you do a condition assessment, that means your asset may not last as long as you thought it would, based on its condition, or it may be really good and you can take it on beyond where you thought it was going to last.
Right. But
you don't know unless you get out there and conduct these condition assessments. So this again ties back to the equipment ranking. You can now do condition assessments through the ranking module, which is a very formalized, regimented scoring mechanism to do that. You don't have to do it through work orders anymore.
Can I look at particular sections of my facility and get a condition assessment based off of, let's say, my equipment ranking in that particular location, and it sort of gives me the health of that?
That's a common question. Yeah, people want to know, especially managers, they don't want to know that this motor A is in condition 2. They want to know at a system level.
Yeah.
Think of a wastewater plant, the whole headwork system. What is the condition of it? A roll up. So yes, you still, you can't escape having to do those low-level condition assessments, but the roll-up capability tells you the overall health of the system. So yeah,
that's important. You can drill down from there. You can say, I'm yellow, whatever the dashboard is saying. I'm yellow in this section. Let's drill down. Oh, it's that. Oh, I got it. There's a work order already. I can get the information I need to.
That's right. Maintenance people tend to think in discrete assets. Engineers and managers tend to think in systems.
Yes.
So you can get them the type of information that they need to make their own decisions on. And what's important as you start looking forward, Scott, is the next block I have here is the strategy. If you take an individual item and you think about it expiring, let's say 2025, we know this particular pump is at reaching end of life. Well, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to replace it completely in kind, or are you going to rehab it, overhaul it?
Yeah,
so
you
have to have a known strategy or even multiple strategies available to you so you can do scenario analysis, because invariably you're going to have limited dollars.
Yeah.
So you may not be able to get that brand new shiny motor and pump. You might have to do an overhaul. So given limited funds, you have these pre-built scenarios in there that you could trade off between, if you will. But that's now in the database and not in someone's head or on some contractor's estimate.
See, that's powerful. And we take it for granted. And sometimes people are just saying, I got to replace it. I got to replace the motor. But to have the data, have the information available to truly be able to make those decisions on, do I replace it or rehab it? What if I rehab it? How long it is that going to, those are powerful strategies.
Yeah. Some equipment can be overhauled and brought to like new condition and some can't.
Yeah.
And so the only way to know that is to examine each one and implement those strategies into the database.
I love it.
All right. And so once again, this bottom block I have is remaining useful life analysis. EAM does that for you now. You can see it right on the asset screen based on the ranking, based on the condition. You can look right there and it tells you the year in which it's expected to expire. Simple as that, right there. Easy reporting.
Wow. Is it a dynamic analysis?
Yep.
So it's pulling in IoT data and it's heating up here and whatever.
It is dynamic, yep. And this is something that we really, in the past, had to embed a lot of intelligence and reports and scripts and things to produce. But once again, the platform has expanded to the point where this is just literally listed right on the screen.
Jeez. That's pretty cool stuff.
Pretty powerful, yeah.
It's pretty cool. And you know what? And a thought comes to mind, Clay, is that, businesses are struggling with that human element. That knowledge, leaving, whatever. It's a challenge. It's whatever the silver tsunami, all of these individuals that are leaving and retiring and so on and so forth. But the way you set this up really addresses that. If I do it right in my asset registry, if I do it right with my work management and so on and go from left to right here, the impact of people leaving and coming and going and the dynamics of just human behavior is managed a little bit better here in this particular solution.
Yeah, we've been talking about it for years, is how to capture that knowledge and and all of these people that are going to be in this wave of retirement. So you're hitting the nail on the head.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's beautiful.
Getting that intelligence in the database and out of their heads.
Okay, right. So here's a big beef for me. So the last block is business intelligence, analytics, data analytics, modeling, AI, all of this stuff sort of resides. Can you sort of expand a lot, because people talk about it, but I want to hear what you have to say about here.
Sure. Yep. This ties right into and kind of rides on top of the long-term capital planning. So you'll have to make a little bit of a mental leap with me here on the asset health dashboards, but what you're trying to present, largely to managers and executives is, here's our fleet, if you will, or here's our asset ecosystem. And, we can red, yellow, green. By system, by individual asset, here are the assets that are good. Here's the ones that are, let's say, midlife, and here's the ones that you need to be putting in the budget for overhaul or replacement in the next, you name the time frame, the next year, right, 3 years, right, 5 years, right? You name the horizon that you're planning on. But those dashboards highlight areas of concern, assets of concern, right? So there's your subjects that you need to plan for. Scenario analysis is different. This is where you say, you provide parameters, like I have $1 million or I have $2 million. And I want to look at how I could apply that $1 million across my criticality 1, 2, 3, you name it, right? So it's what if scenarios. And this is huge in the transit industry. It's also big in public utilities. With limited funds, how can I stratify my dollars and replacement strategy? What can I really get accomplished next year, 2 years, 3 years with the money that I have? And once again, the equipment ranking comes right back into play here. So our top criticality, wow, our top risk items should rise to the top, and we should spend our money on those first to make sure that we're covered.
I have to tell you, that's dead sexy. If I'm into data, if I'm into asset management and what you're doing and what you're talking about here on this particular EAM, Infor EAM platform, and how you apply this logic, it is, man. It is cool stuff and powerful. And like you were saying, there's this thing that's happening, and it's constantly growing and refining and becoming more powerful and stronger, better, faster, whatever, Steve Austin approach. And it only gets better from here. It's not going to go down. Hell.
That's right. Yep. The platform is really solid and growing. And as I said, it's continuing to roll in things that used to be point systems are now in the platform.
And it's integrated. And I'm not going to go down the road of being able to say, oh my gosh, I remember the good old days when you have to create all this other stuff. But it's anyway, are you active out on LinkedIn? We're going to have to wrap this up. Are you active out there?
I am. I sure am.
So reach out.
You should be able to search me up, Clay Bush. Mm-hmm. Don't forget one more thing there.
What's that?
Scott, the last block. And this is, you know, this is still brand new. And, you know, it's talked about a lot, but it's no longer on the far horizon. It's here. And that is predictive machine learning algorithms such as Enforce Coleman. The biggest challenge people have in that area right now is not having enough history to feed the machine. But we're imminent. A lot of people have been running EAM for 10, 15, 20 years, and they have good history, and the history can be improved and tweaked and smoothed out, let's say, so that these algorithms can look at your history and make intelligent forecasts. So that ties right in there with the BI, the analytics, and the modeling. But again, it assumes you have the history to support the algorithm. So that's an up-and-coming thing. There's a lot of new technologies out there.
Yeah, that's cool stuff.
But this is the closest one of the new thing.
I think that's cool, too. I think that's really you need that history, and I bet you could never mind. We're running out of time right here. So Clay Bush is the gentleman. Scott. That's B-U-S-H, Stratum. If there's a couple of Clay Bushes out there on LinkedIn, just put Stratum, S-T-R-A-T-U-M. Is the company. You'll find Clay. Reach out to him. Definitely, this Infor Cloud Suite EAM is a powerful platform, definitely in this world of Industry 4.0. Clay, you are absolutely spectacular. I love this.
Fellow asset geek, Scott, thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's sort of sad to a certain extent, but it's pretty cool too, you know? It's amazing. Wonderful job. Wonderful job. Reach out to Clay. Now, we're going to have all of the contact information out on industrialtalk.com. So do not go away. We're going to wrap it up on the other side. Thank you very much for joining. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Clay Bush, president of Stratum Consulting. That's S-T-R-A-T. UM Consulting Partners is the company. I'm telling you, fantastic approach to that Infor EAM platform and how to manage those assets as a company, as you proceed forward. Vitally important in this world of COVID-19. Whether we like it or not, you got to build a business of resiliency. And it comes through people like Clay, a platform like Infor EAM. All right. I'm going to challenge you again. Once again, you want to be bold. You want to be brave, right? And dare greatly. Those are important qualities, especially today in this COVID world. But I'm going to challenge you to find individuals that are bold, brave, and dare greatly. And your view on life will be definitely changed. Reach out to me, industrialtalk.com. I'm more than happy to connect with you. All right. We're going to be having another great interview right around the corner. So stay tuned. Thank you for joining.